In a way, aren't we all Spartacus?
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Hello, hello, Steve Newell.
Hey there. Hey. Hey.
Hey. Welcome back. Good to have you on the show.
You know those weeks where you feel like Spartacus? I've just had a couple of weeks where you feel like, I don't know what that means.
You've been kicked off a ledge? Oh, no, that's 300.
That doesn't really make any sense. back here, one final run.
For the whole year.
For the year.
And, oh, my God.
There's this thing that occasionally people do at the end of the year, which is the best of list.
I don't know
if you've ever come across these, but...
Oh, yeah, you know, they're big around this time of year.
Oh, yeah. See a lot of them on the social media.
Yeah, YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The clickbait channels.
Yes, yes.
Or just distribute to all clickbait channels, please.
Top 10 movies of 2024.
Oh, man. Duck, cut my lunch. with that in mind, I've got some holiday viewing recommendations. These are the things that stuck with me this year. I don't know if objectively it's like, well, it can't be objectively, but I don't know if it's like my ranked list of my favorite things, but I've broken them up into a few categories. So
great.
Depending on what you're feeling like, there's a few good things to choose from here, I reckon.
Okay. So what's our first category we're going to break into?
Let's start with best spooky movies.
Best spooky movie. All right. Halloween, a couple months ago, and spooky movies were quite big back then.
Yeah, and the ones that kind of stuck with me this year, Exhumer was one. Exhumer. This is a Korean horror that follows a bunch of graveside priests or graveside spiritualists who exhume bodies who aren't resting properly and relocate them so they can, you know, give them the peace they want in the afterlife. Except they bite off more than they can chew, and before you know it, there's like evil spirit business.
Ah, yes.
I really enjoyed this. It was a really interesting narrative. Tapped into some, some aspects of religion that I wasn't aware of. And had a damn good bunch of frights in it too. So,
Exhumer,
Exhumer.
Is that a recent one that's come out?
These are all 24. Well, I saw all these in 24.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They all kind of made their way to screens here in one fashion or another this year.
Right, right.
Also on the spooky movies list is Long Legs. This is the Nick Cage, Micah Monroe starring kind of Silence the Lambs but with devil shit movie. I really dug this. This was a really great kind of sustained creep out for me. I think there was a bit of a reaction to this that it wasn't like as outright terrifying for some people as they expected it to be. It was quite a heavily hyped film.
Wasn't spicy enough.
But it kind of grabbed me early on, and I loved that mix of Silence of the Lambs sort of style psychological head messing, and then also this kind of swerve into, well, it's not going to be up to the viewer to interpret whether supernatural stuff's going on. It's overt as hell.
Yeah.
And I really dug it. And while I think Cage is only on screen for 17 minutes, but what an impression he and his absence both leave in this film.
Great.
And also on spooky movies, Sleep, if you've ever had trouble sharing a bed with someone and either had some strange sleep antics of your own or noticed some in your bedmates, this is a film that'll resonate in all the wrong ways. In this, a pregnant wife notices her husband doing some increasingly odd things during the night.
Oh, God.
And there's some real untoward stuff going on here. And you never really quite know how far this film's going to take its ideas.
Yeah.
It takes them pretty far.
Right. So that's almost kind of scary if you don't know, like, oh, God, where's this going to go?
Yeah, very much so. And I dug that. I think sort of by the time the third act kind of rolls around, yeah, you just don't really have a grip on what's real, what's imagined in this. The woman is ascribing all sorts of odd motivations or sort of odd phenomena to her husband's behavior. And some of them might land. Who knows?
Wow.
Judge for yourself. So is a spooky movies, Exhumer, Long Legs, and Sleep.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm a fan of a buzzy movie.
Yeah,
buzzy movie.
Like about bees?
It's pretty buzzy.
All right, buzzy.
Like, and Cheech and Chong like buzzy movies as well. Yeah. Totally unrelated. probably can't go past June Part 2 for the sheer spectacle of that film.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think many of us are really thinking about that film too much coming into the year, like in terms of... You know, I haven't found myself kind of going back to that.
No, that came out at the beginning of the year, didn't it?
Yeah, it was a lot earlier in the year, but I mean, for the first one seemed to land a big, seemed to make a big impression, maybe because it was truncated with kind of no real ending. But then you can kind of say the same about this one.
True.
Too. It doesn't really.
Because there's another one coming.
I was going back to some of the coverage on Flix of part two and how we're like, Villeneuve returning to finish his two. Well, he hasn't finished yet.
One more to go.
But yeah, on sort of sheer money dripping spectacle, I don't think you can go past that for buzziness.
True.
Also in the buzzy category, these ones sit here slightly arbitrarily, but they could go elsewhere, I think, in some of these other little mini lists. Both from the New Zealand International Film Festival and both enjoying a subsequent release. The first is my second favourite film of the year. I Saw the TV Glow. I kind of felt like this was what a David Lynch movie made in the 2020s with a much more kind of present queer text and subtext to it would look like. And it traces a friendship and what happens after one of these friends who have bonded over a late night cult TV show that's kind of reminded me a bit of Buffy. What happens when one of them disappears and what the subsequent reappearance does years later and sort of unlocks some really interesting doors. Visually really interesting, some cool music in it, great Caroline Polachek sync, and yeah, really, really enjoyable, interesting watch there.
Hell yeah.
Also in the buzzy category, and again, could go elsewhere, is The Substance. Ends at IFF.
Okay, that was really buzzy, yeah.
Really buzzy.
It didn't come into spooky.
You could kind of say it's grody as well. Might be a good category for this one, actually.
Gross.
A bit fame sarcastic. There was a lot of films of fame sarcastic, but I think this one really was. Surely we can expect to hear Demi Moore talked about come Oscar time for this film.
Yes.
Which would be quite an interesting proposition. Might be one of those where... You know, the Oscar screener doesn't get watched by past the first 15 minutes by a lot of people, but
yeah.
Great performance. I almost put this in best horny movies, actually, which is the next category. It's not really at the core of The Substance. The core of The Substance is more that competition between the two the two bisected parts of the main character's self. I kind of found myself... feeling a bit seen by this movie here and there, just that notion of like borrowing from your future time to enjoy your present time.
Yeah,
like a late night's that a too big of a party that leaves you with a deficit is that.
Yeah, that's true.
And we all,
it was relatable.
Well, many of us do that and can relate. Many of you can relate to that. I can't relate to that.
Now, I did hear that you did say someone threw up in their wine glass at the opening near you. Was that
there
you?
There was allegedly talk of a chunder, but.
Oh yeah, potentially.
I kind of find like movie chunder, movie chunder chat is often overblown.
Yeah, I bet.
But hey, if you've got a movie chunder experience, you can just text us on 5395.
Let us know.
On studio@95bfm.com. I think we will keep this one off the phones. No one wants to hear you talk about.
No, we don't want people vomiting in the cars.
No, exactly. So just as a dry retch on a text based information. Because I did bury the lead because I did say there was best horny movies. These are films where the steaminess is a kind of core part of these films.
Yeah.
First one of these is Love Lies Bleeding.
Okay. Yeah.
This was Katie O'Brien and Kristen Stewart teaming up for a kind of small town noir, queer as all get out, laced with some kind of fantastical elements. This was such a fun night at the movies. This might have been one of the most fun nights at the cinema that I had
this year.
This year, actually.
Wow.
It played really well to a crowd. Kind of right from the get-go, very, very well-crafted B-movie. With some stuff to say, but also just horny.
Let's watch.
Let's lean into that.
Yeah.
Of course, the other kind of film in that vein this year is Luca Guadagnino's Challengers.
Challengers.
You know, hey, what can you say? Three tennis players. Look out, ASB Classic, because now we know all about what goes on in the world of tennis.
Yes, the tennis love triangles.
Yeah. What we know about tennis is that the camera can become the ball.
That's right. That's right. You want the sensation of being hit in the face multiple times. It's quite interesting.
And what's hornier than that? A couple more categories to run through. Best true movies.
True movies. What do you mean by true?
Well, like, yeah, exactly.
Like a documentary?
Because Docos was boring and best true movies sounds stupid, so we came up with that. No Other Land, which I believe is still in cinemas at the moment. This is the documentary about the Israeli Defense Force land confiscations in the West Bank.
Oh, yes.
As distinct from the genocide in Gaza, this is about the long-running settlement of land that doesn't belong to Israel.
Right.
But they seem content on eradicating Palestinian homesteads to make a two-state solution impossible.
Mm.
All these are words you're probably familiar with. You probably hear them in the news. But watching this roll out on the ground, kind of getting a sense of what the space looks like, and it's not a, you know, it's not the demolished urban space that may come to mind when you think about occupied territories.
Yeah.
These are herding families. These are families in villages.
Mm.
It's all a very, agrarian and kind of close to close to communal environments that are kind of small and not built up. And seeing these wiped out, in the name of nationalist politics is pretty stink.
Yeah.
Great documentary. Yeah, really gives context to a lot of things that have been bubbling in the region for a long time.
Right.
And continue to do so as Israel grabs a chunk of Syria this week also for settlement purposes. Much less controversial, but still finding 4 hours of runtime. Menu Plaisirs, Les Trois Gros.
Four hours of runtime.
So bad. This is a incredibly meditatively paced. I take that back. It's not incredibly meditatively paced. It's just long. It's a long documentary about a French restaurant, fine dining restaurant, and 4 hours gets you a real insight into both the mechanics of having a place like that. It's kind of often douchey customers. It's long-running, more pleasant customers. The relationships they have with their suppliers. They're also often multi-generational French families.
Mm.
Really, really interesting. And, it's about the duration of a TV show, but it's so nice just to go, you know what, I'm going to commit this whole chunk of time and just sit in this one thing for a while.
Yeah. Have a few snacks on the standby.
Really, really enjoyable. Also, my worst experience in a cinema this year.
Your worst experience?
Due to the chatty boomers behind me who wouldn't shut the fuck up. Until the pleasant New Zealand International Film Festival staff intervened. They are my cinema heroes.
Oh, yes. Shout out to you guys, NZIFF staff.
Indeed. Thank you. Two remaining categories. Best rap movies.
Cool.
Ireland's Kneecap and the United States' Rap World.
Rap World.
I think that there's kind of some commonalities between these two things. One's a true story, one's a mockumentary. Okay, that's not the same. What else is the same? Rap. They both got guys doing raps in them.
Okay.
Some
so
raps
that's the
are,
connection.
And it proves that some raps are better than others.
Yeah.
Kneecap's raps are better than Rap World's. Rap World, you can watch on YouTube. Kneecap is out and about.
That's right.
Out and about, probably streaming by now.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on that. And just to wrap up, the very best movie of the year that's also the best movie I won't be seeing again came out at the start of the year. Made its pitch at the Oscars in early 24. The Zone of Interest, Jonathan Glazer's fantastic gut-churning drama set at Auschwitz.
I do remember watching that one.
Yeah, I remember watching that one. I can feel it. I can feel it in my bones. I'm never going to watch this movie again.
No, it is crazy, scary, and sort of a different way that you've never sort of witnessed before.
Big time. But right from the get-go in this, where they just have you sitting with a black screen for a long time.
With
like
that
probably
music.
A couple of minutes, and then just music and life happening in the background.
Yeah.
Really is. It really makes sure you leave whatever you've brought into this viewing experience and makes you leave it behind. This is a phones down movie 100%, because you just need to kind of let the cognitive dissonance and the reality of life next to a human extermination farm play out. If you haven't seen it and you've been putting it off, I get that can feel like homework, and it's by no means a pleasant watch.
No.
But it's a fantastic film, and as Glazer made the point at the Academy Awards, you can draw a clear parallel in the behavior of the humans depicted in the Zone of Interest, at the Nazis depicted there, with the more extreme dehumanizing, genocide advocating members of Benjamin Netanyahu's government.
Indeed.
In Israel at the present time.
Yes.
The hoops that the human brain is able to jump through to justify the most unspeakable things are laid out here like nothing else I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Tremendous film.
Big time.
Never watching it again.
No way.
On that note.
On that note.
I'm out of here.
You're out of here. We do have one question, though. Someone's asking, did anything come out in 2024 that was as good as Predator, Terminator 2, or Die Hard, or will I be watching them all again this summer?
Well, first of all, watch those all again this summer without shadow of a doubt, and also watch Predator 2, because that's a fantastic sequel.
Great.
I would say not in that genre.
Not in that genre.
Sadly, not in that
genre. Maybe next year.
See how we go, but I think that event movie, a good event movie, can be quite hard to come by these days.
Yeah.
It's really part of the... I think we also feel the loss of like the $30 million budget movie. So you've got your indie scale, you've got your... and then you've got your have to please everybody scale. And there ain't enough in between.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting that all those films necessarily got made for that money, but without those mid-budget films... We don't get to see those kind of runaway things.
Totally.
Take some risks.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, big studios. Take some risks.
Hopefully next year we'll be able to have a category that is best movies that are kind of a bit almost as good as Die Hard, Predator.
Yeah.
Et al.
Indeed. Indeed. All right.
Well, I was going to say until then, but we won't wait till the end of next year.
No.
Do something sooner than that.
Yeah. Hopefully in January.
Oof. January.
Yeah.
It's not far.
No, it's a few weeks away. Fantastic. All right, thanks for that, Steve. We'll see you next year.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.